from there, we see the ulama as well, that we are nearing the time of the appearance. And of course, we can never set a particular time for that. We can just guess and, you know, guess that it's near. But beyond that, we should always feel that it is near, as we have in Dua al-Ahd, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. Those who do not accept this concept, those who are not familiar with it, or those who are not awaiting it, consider it far away. But we consider it very near, which is a concept that we need to have in mind in order to be able to prepare for the coming of the Imam. Preparation and zuhur of the Imam is a very important concept. We need to be ready for this. I want to read a hadith so that we're reminded of the importance of this concept, of the importance of us keeping ourselves ready, learning about this phenomenon, about this event that will be taking place, and it's a divine time. The hadith is, and there's multiple ones, but this is one of the wordings that we can find, is from Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, that he says, إِذَا خَرَجَ الْقَائِنِ عَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيفِ خَرَجَ مِنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ مَنْ كَانَ يَرَى أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَدَخَلَ فِيهِ شِبْهُ عَبَدَةِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَبَرِ. This is an amazing hadith, a very scary one for us. And we should always be worried about this. According to this narration, it says, when the upriser, عَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيفِ, Imam al-Mahdi, when he starts his move, when he starts his uprising, خَرَجَ مِنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, there are going to be people that are going to leave this amr. هَذَا الْأَمْرِ in the ahadith refers to the concept of wilayah, being a Shia, accepting the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt. They didn't explicitly mention those words because of the environment of taqiyya, so they would refer to it as هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, this issue, okay? People will leave this issue, the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, being a Shia, مَنْ كَانَ يَرَى أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. Those who thought of themselves of being some of the Shia. This is very dangerous, brothers and sisters, that we're saying, the Imam is saying, that some of us, some of those who consider themselves Shia, when the Imam comes, they're going to leave this Amr, they're going to leave this issue, they're going to leave the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt. They're going to go against the Imam of the time. وَدَخَلَ فِيهِ شِبْهُ عَبَدَةِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. On the other hand, people are going to be coming into this concept, accepting this concept, not only Sunni. It says شِبْهُ عَبَدَةِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. Even those who are as though they are worshipping the sun and the moon, atheists, polytheists, mushrikeen, all these people, they're going to be joining this. And some of us, God forbid, maybe we, are going to be leaving this. This is very, very important. Now, how do we prepare ourselves for this? What do we need to learn? What do we need to be talking about? What should our dialogue amongst ourselves as the Shia be during this time? One of the topics that has come about recently, or I can say that it's talked about a lot more recently, which is good, is talking about the signs of the coming of the 12th Imam. I want to read you a few hadith in regards to it, and let's see what we can take from them. There's a few books that we have that are dedicated to the Imam of our time. The ahadith that are gathered specifically to tell us about the background of ghaib, the occultation. Why did this even occur? What happened right before it? The birth of the Imam, making sure, because one of the questions that people had and doubts that they were warned, people were warned from before, was the idea that is the 12th Imam even born? Okay, this was a serious question. Okay, so we have a list of hadith or even reports by non-Ma'sumin that had seen the Imam. So these had been compiled for that reason. So the background of why there's an occultation, that the Imam of the time has been born, how old he was when he went into the occultation, who all has seen him, who all are his deputies, who are the people that went against him, what are the things that are going to happen before the coming of the Imam, what are the signs of his return, what are the things that are going to happen afterwards, and things like that. There's a few books that are dedicated to these topics. One of them is the book of Nu'mani, one of our great scholars. Nu'mani, he has put together a book that he calls Al-Ghaiba, Occultation. He lived in the early 4th century, around the time of Shaykh Al-Kulayni, rahmatullah alayhi, but a little after. He compiled this book. This is one book that we have. Another book that we have has a similar name. It's called Kitab al-Ghaiba. That is by Sheikh At-Tusi, who lived in the first half of the, or passed away about halfway through the 5th century. Another book that we have is by Sheikh As-Saduq, rahmatullah alayh, called Kamal al-Din wa Tamam al-Ni'mah. Also, or again on the same topic, and of course he addresses it differently, and it's very interesting, the stories that he narrates and the ahadith that he has over there. And he lived in the later part of the 4th century, so he's kind of between Sheikh An-Nu'mani and Sheikh At-Tusi, rahmatullah alayhim ajma'in. Now, I'm going to read a few hadith from two of these books. One of them is Kitab al-Ghaiba of Sheikh At-Tusi, and the other one is Kitab al-Ghaiba of Sheikh An-Nu'mani. I'll read a hadith from these two. I'm going to read a few of them before I begin to conclude and come to the point that I want to. First one I want to read is the first hadith, or the second hadith. Actually, I will start with the first hadith that we have in Kitab al-Ghaiba of Sheikh At-Tusi, where he talks about the signs of the return of our Imam. That's the title of this particular chapter. This is one of the first ahadith that Sheikh At-Tusi has put. He says that Ahmad ibn Idris narrates from Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Qutaybah, from Fadl ibn Shadhan, from Hassan ibn Mahbub, from Abi Hamza al-Thumali. He says, قلت لأبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام, I said to Imam al-Sadiq, that إن أبا جعفر عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يقول, your father, Imam al-Baqir, used to say, خروج السفياني من المحتوم والنداء من المحتوم وطلوع الشمس من المغرب من المحتوم وأشياء كان يقولها من المحتوم فقال أبو عبد الله فنا. Your father used to say that the rebellion of As-Sufyani is one of the definite factors of the future. There is going to be an individual called As-Sufyani. They refer to him as As-Sufyani, and he's going to rebel. This is definite. Al-Mahtum. Wal-Nida' min al-Mahtum. The call is going to be also definite. Then it says, طُلُوعُ الشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ مِنَ الْمَحْتُومِ. The sun is going to rise from the west. This is going to be definite. The sun rises from the east and sets in the west. It says that the sun is going to be rising from the west. Okay. And then he says, وَأَشْيَاءَ كَانَ يَقُولَهَا. He said there was other things that your father used to say as well. Apparently he's asking what the others are. So the Imam al-Sadiq, responds. He says, وَاخْتِلَافُ بَنِي فِلَانَ مِنَ الْمَحْتُومِ. Filan means such and such. In other words, it's not mentioning the name. So he says, اِخْتِلَافُ بَنِي فِلَانَ. The children of Filan, the children of such and such, are going to have a dispute amongst them. Who is this such and such? It's not clear. This is going to be definite. وَقَتْلُ النَّفْسِ الزَّكِيَّةِ مِنَ الْمَحْتُومِ. Also, the النَّفْسُ الزَّكِيَّةِ, an innocent soul, a purified soul, the death of it, the murder of this nafs, is a definite factor of the future as well. Then it says, وَخُرُوجُ الْقَائِمِ مِنَ الْمَحْتُومِ. The uprising of the uprisers, the Qa'im, is also one of the definite factors. He says, قُلْتُ وَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ النِّدَاءُ. He says, how is that nida, that call that Imam al-Baqir has said, that there's going to be a call from the heavens. What is that going to be? قَالْ يُنَادِي مُنَادٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوَّلَ النَّهَارِ يَسْمَعُهُ كُلُّ قَوْمٍ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. He says, there's going to be a call heard by someone that's going to announce this, make an announcement from the heavens. Okay. At the beginning of the day, يَسْمَعُهُ كُلُّ قَوْمٍ. Every people are going to hear it بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ, in their own language. أَلَا إِنَّ الْحَقِّ. The message is going to be this. أَلَا إِنَّ الْحَقَّ فِي عَلِيٍّ وَشِيعَتِهِ. Truth is with Ali and his followers. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي إِبْلِيسِ فِي آخِرِ النَّهَارِ. Then there's going to be a second call at the end of the day that is going to be done by Iblis, Shaytan. مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. This one is going to be from the earth. The other one was from the heaven. This one is going to be from the earth. أَلَا إِنَّ الْحَقَّ فِي عُثْمَانِ وَشِيَعَتِهِ. That he announces that truth is with Uthman and his followers. فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ يَرْتَابُ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. This is one hadith. Bear with me. There's a reason why I'm not spending too much time explaining the passages that we have in these. I'm going to go to the second hadith, to another hadith. I'm just randomly picking these to show you something. بهذا الإسناد عن ابن فضال عن حماد ابن عن حماد عن الحسين ابن المختار عن أبي ناصر عن عامر عن عامر ابن واسلة. He says, with the chain of narrators that I have, from Ibn Fadhal, from Hammad, from someone called Husayn ibn Mukhtar, and then another individual from Abi Nasr, from Amir ibn Wasilan, Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's a very short chain of narrators that would lead to Amir al-Mu'mineen. We have very few ahadith that does not go through the later imams, like Imam al-Sajjad and onwards, that narrate Amir al-Mu'mineen. And usually the chains like this one are not reliable chains. Okay. So according to this narration, I'm not going to attribute this, we're fasting, we can't just say that, even normally we can't say. So I'm going to say, this is only an attribution, I'm not saying that the Imam has actually said this. It's been reported that Amir al-Mu'mineen has said, according to this narration, he quotes the Holy Prophet in this narration, that عَشْرٌ قَبْلَ السَّاعَةِ. There are 10 things before the time. The time usually refers to the day of judgment, okay, the end of the life on this earth. He says there's 10 things, لا بد منها, that have to have them. One is As-Sufyani, that individual, we heard the name again, this is the second time. The first hadith we had, now we have it here. Wad-Dajjal, okay, I'm sure we all have heard the word Dajjal, whatever that means, I'm not going to discuss it too much. Wad-Dukhan, smoke. What is smoke? Mist. What is it exactly? Is it going to be like from explosions? Is it going to be mist, like evaporation? Is it going to be something like the thing that caused the explosion or the meteorite that hit the earth and caused a cloud on the earth that caused the extinction of the dinosaurs? What is this dukhan? We don't know. What dab is going to be an animal? What is this dab? Don't know. خروج القائم, becoming the uprising of the imam. طلوع الشمس من مغربها, the sun rising from the west instead of the east. ونزول عيسى, the descent of عيسى. وخسف بالمشرق, there's going to be the earth is going to be falling through a bit in the east. وخسف بجزيرة العرب, and then one is going to happen in the Arabian Peninsula. ونار تخرج من قعر عدن تسوق النار إلى المحشر, talks about a fire. Okay, so this is the second one. Just one little point here to remember. This one began like this. Although Sheikh At-Tusi has put it in the ahadith to talk about the signs of the coming of the imam, we saw that the hadith, if it's reliable, if it is actually said by the Holy Prophet, it is saying that these are 10 things that are going to happen before the coming, before the end of this earth, before the day of judgment. Okay, so how does that work? Then we have another one. The next one I'm reading. خَمْسٌ قَبْلَ قِيَامِ الْقَائِمِ. There's going to be, no, this one it says, yeah, there's going to be 5 things before, pay attention to the wording. It doesn't say that when these happen, right at that second, the coming of the Imam is going to occur. You're going to hear the call. The Imam is going to come and he's going to start his move. It says five things will happen before the coming of the Imam. Min al-alamat. There's five signs. As-sayha. Okay, again, the call. As-Sufyani. We hear the name of As-Sufyani for the third time. Al-Khas bil-Bayda. But pay attention, the call is heard for the third time as well. Second or third time. Sufyani is second or third time. Khas bil-Bayda. Okay, Khas, the earth falling through in Bayda apparently is part of the Arabian Peninsula. So this is also something we hear again. Then a new thing we hear, Khurujul Yamani. Okay, someone called Yamani is going to be starting an uprising. Qatlun nafsiz zakiyya. Again, we hear this one that we didn't have in the second one that I read, but we have it here again, like the first one. And that is an-nafsu zakiyya, the purified soul is going to be murdered. Because of the shortage of time, I wanted to read more, but I'm going to stop on that. And the last stop on the ones that I wanted to read from those books. And I want to read the last two that I had prepared from before, specific ones, to get to the main point in regards to these signs that I want to say. In this book of Shaykh At-Tusi, there's one hadith he narrates from Sayf ibn Amirah an Bakr ibn Muhammad al-Azdi from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. He says, according to this narration, خُرُوجُ الثَّلَاثَةِ الْخُرَاسَانِ وَالسُّفْيَانِ وَالْيَمَانِ فِي سَنَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ فِي شَهْرٍ وَاحِدٍ فِي يَوْمٍ وَاحِدٍ وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا رَايَةٌ بِأَهْدَى مِنْ رَايَةِ الْيَمَانِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ. Okay, pay attention. It says, well, two of these names we've heard in the hadith that I read to you. Sufyani we've heard, Yamani we just heard in the last hadith. Okay, the third one is added that I'm sure most of you, if not all, have heard. Khurasani. Khurasani is another figure that is mentioned in the hadith. Okay, this hadith says, the rebellion or the uprising, because some of them apparently are supposed to be good people and some of them are supposed to be rebellious and bad people. So the move that they're going to make, it says in this hadith, خُرُوجُ الثَّلَاثَةَ, these three, their uprising, some of them evil, some of them good, is going to be in 1 year, in 1 month, in 1 day. Okay. Then it says there's not going to be a more guided flag amongst them as the one that the Yamani is going to have. And you hear all kinds of, speculations about who the Yamani is going to be. And then we put like this hadith and some other hadith and say, okay, it says we have this concept of a yellow flag. Now we see a yellow flag in part of the world, so that must be the Yamani. That's Ahda Marayatin, that's the most guided flag. Then we start asking, what about the other part of the world that we know of? What about the Islamic Republic, for example? Then we try to fix it up and things like that. This is one hadith. Remember, it says this is going to happen in 1 day, 1 month, and one, or in the same day of the same month of the same year. All three are going to start their move. Now, the next hadith, right after that. This one is Fazl, apparently Fazl ibn Shazan, from Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Nasr, from Abu al-Hasan al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, according to this narration, it's been attributed to Imam al-Ridha, that inna min alamat al-faraj hadathan yakunu bayn al-haramayn. There's a few signs. I'll skip this one. I want to get to the main point that I want to focus on. قُلْتُ وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ يَكُونُ الْحَدَثِ فَقَالَ عَصَبِيَّةٌ تَكُونُ بَيْنَ الْحَرَمَيْنِ يَقْتُلُ Sorry, excuse me, I skipped the hadith. The one that I want is from Ibn Fazzal, from Ibn Bukayr, from Ibn Muslim. قال يَخْرُجُ قَبْلَ السُّفْيَانِ مِصْرِيٌ وَيَمَانِ. Now, we see a clear contradiction here. This one says, before the coming of the Sufyani, there's going to be two. We hear a completely new name, Misri. Who is Misri? We don't know. Then it says, Wayamani. Okay. The Yamani that was said to have the same, starting his uprising on the same day of the same month of the same year, in this hadith, that's right after the previous one, it says that the Yamani is going to be before Sufyani. So is it going to be on the same day, or is it going to be before? The point that I'm trying to make is that when we look at the ahadith, in regards to the signs of the coming of the Imam, many of them do not have proper chains of narrations, okay, many of them. Many of them consist of people, some of them are considered liars, like outright liars, like someone by the name of Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Hamza al-Bata'ini. All right. We have to be very careful looking at these ahadith. The other point is, the ones even that we do find do have a legitimate chain of narrators, they're very, very, very ambiguous. Okay. Now, my question that I want to raise for us to think about, how important is it for us to focus and discuss the issue of the signs of the coming of the Imam? And if that's important, then let's do that. And somebody has to resolve these problems that we just talked about. If it isn't the main thing, what is? What should we focus on? After reading all these ahadith, the scattered ahadith, the unclear and ambiguous pictures that are given, and then seeing that most of them are not even, you can't really even be 100% sure that the imams have actually said that, okay, and given the environment in which the hadith is given, which I can't discuss, I'm almost done with my time, we realize that the imams, it does not seem like they want to give us a very clear picture of exactly what is going to happen. And there's a lot of reasons why that is. Again, because of the shortage of time, I'm going to skip that. The main point I want to highlight here is this, that even if we had the very specific, very, very specific details of exactly how the imam is going to look, all right, what exactly is going to happen before the coming of the imam, even if we had all that information, that is not something that would necessarily help. That's not the main focus we need to know. How do I say that? Because this is not the first time that we are in the era of anticipation and awaiting a savior. This has happened throughout the history more than once. One of the times is the coming of our holy prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know for a fact that actually our prophet was described in the previous books in much detail, to the extent that the Holy Quran says in two verses, one is Surah Baqarah, verse 146, and the other is Surah An'am, verse 20. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. The description was given, okay, to the ones that we have given a book, okay, to the extent that يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They knew the Prophet the way a parent knows their child. How good does a father or a mother know their child? They know every detail of how this child looks, how they act, all right, what their personality is, what their qualities are, how they react in different circumstances. They know all of that. It says they knew the prophet so well that it's as though a father or a mother knows their child. Okay. But then, وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. When the Prophet came, they hid the truth. Okay. الَّذِينَ, in verse 20 of Surah An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Again, the first part of that's the main focus that I wanted to make. When we look at the traditions in regards to the Jews, okay, these are mainly referring to the Jews, the Christians as well of that time, but Jews mainly. The Jewish people had so much detail. They knew about approximately the era in which the Prophet is going to be starting his mission. They knew where he's going to settle. And because of that, they moved to Medina. Otherwise, the Jews, that was not their home country or town or any of that. They moved to that area because they had the signs and they were making their decisions. They're waiting, right? They're anticipating. They're muntazir of the Prophet. So they're, what should we do? Let's look at the signs. The signs say the Prophet is going to be coming from an area that, they see some, they see the name of Uhud. I think one of the things that they had was the mountain of Uhud. It's going to be near the mountain of Uhud. This is even before there is a city of Medina or Yathrib, before Islam was called Yathrib. There was no city there. It was near the mountain of Uhud. They went and settled there. And then the Arabs came, the Aus and Khazraj came and settled there. They had a city called Yathrib. And then after the Prophet was called Medina. All right. So they looked at these signs. They said, okay, let's make decisions based on that. And they were accurate signs, not like some of the ones that we have, which we don't know. They're ambiguous. They made decisions based on that, and did that help them? No. The majority of the Jews came over, although they had the signs, they rejected the Prophet, they became the worst enemy of the Prophet, and the way the Prophet treated the Jews, it was the most severe. The mushrikeen were not treated like this. Okay. The mushrikeen were not treated like this. We see that that is not, even if we find, which we can, I'm not denying that we can find certain things from the Ahadith, but it's very difficult. We can't trust, we can't just pick up any book that talks about the coming of the Imam and, you know, they start to tell a story of how it is. The more it looks like a complete picture, the more you should question it and say, no, this is probably not accurate because we don't have all those facts, all right? There's a lot of it that is ambiguous. Instead of focusing on that, what should we do? What should we do? In the last couple of minutes that I have, I'll give you three ahadith, and if I can, if you allow me, I'll mention a little story as well so we can understand this better, inshallah. In the same book, in the books of Ghaiba, as I said, one chapter is about the signs of the coming of the Imam, but the other chapters have other ahadith. One of the ahadith that we find here from Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, he says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. In this report, the Imam has been said to have quoted the Holy Prophet to say, طُوبَ لِمَنْ أَدْرَكَ قَائِمَ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ وَهُوَ مُقْتَدٍ بِهِ قَبْلَ قِيَامِهِ. It's an amazing one again. It says, blessed is, good is, good for the person that adraka qa'im ahl bayt, that sees, okay, is able to be at the time of the qa'im, the upriser. Wa huwa muqtadin bihi qabla qiyamihi. And he had become the companion, right, the follower of the Imam qabla qiyamihi, before the uprising began. How is that? He says, yatawalla وَلِيَّهُ وَيَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ. He followed the wali of the Imam. He made sure, he knew at any time he lives, okay, because we don't know exactly when the Imam is going to start his mission, when he's going to return to us. He knows, this individual figures out who is the wali of the Imam. If the Imam were to come today, who is a leadership that would be in line with the Imam? Okay. They would be joining them, being with them, at least with their hearts. وَيَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ. I would identify who is the adu and the enemy of the Imam. I need to make that clear for myself before the coming of the Imam. And I stay away from that enemy of the Imam. وَيَتَوَلَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ الْهَادِيَةَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. And he follows the imams that were before the imam of the time, before the 12th imam. Okay, so this is a different thing. Following the previous imams, and this is, in a couple of minutes I'll explain. أُولَٰئِكَ رُفَقَائِي وَذَوَوْ وُدِّي وَمَوَدَّتِي وَأَكْرَمُ أُمَّتِي عَلَيْهِ قَالَ رُفَعَ وَأَكْرَمُ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. They are my friends. They have my love and the expression of my love, and they are the best of my ummah. Okay. So, couple of things. It says, we need to figure out who is the wali of our imam. We have to do that. We have to spend the time and effort, gather information. Who is the wali of the imam? Who is the adu of the imam? Who is the enemy of the imam? be close with the wali, stay away from the adu. Then يتولى الأئمة الهادية من قبله. Follow the previous imam. This is the last point I want to make. Okay. And I'll use two other hadith, or one of them at least, in the short time that remains, to explain this. According to a couple of ahadith, I'll skip one of them and get to the second one, which is clearer. He says, it's been attributed to Imam al-Sadiq, and we have more than one narration that says this and states this. اعرف إمامك فإذا عرفته لم يضرك تقدم هذا الأمر أم تأخر. Know your Imam. If you know your Imam, then it is not going to harm you if this Amr, okay, the uprising, تأخر أم تقدم. Okay, تقدم هذا الأمر أم تأخر. Whether this comes earlier or later, it's not going to hurt you. Like, you're going to be safe if you know your Imam. Then he recites the verse of the Holy Quran about the Day of Judgment, that يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. The day that we will call every people with their Imam, with their leader. فَمَنْ عَرَفَ إِمَامَهُ كَانَ كَمَنْ هُوَ فِي فُسْطَاطِ الْقَائِمِ. Then the person who knows his Imam is like the person who is standing or is in the tent of the Imam of our time. Okay. Now, how do we put these two ahadith together? Well, the first one said, يَتَوَلَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ الْهَادِيَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. And this one says, know your Imam. What's the relationship? I'll tell you that in a story. To understand this better, let's realize a fact. Okay, what does knowing an Imam mean? Let's just see for a minute here. What does knowing the Imam mean? Knowing the Imam, he's not available to us for us to know how he looks, who that particular individual is. All right, we're not going to be able to do that. We need to know the characteristics of the Imam and an Imam. Okay, how is that? I'll give you a story. A similar problem occurred after Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi passed away and was martyred. That time was one of the more difficult times for the Shia. Mansur Dawaniqi, may Allah's curse be upon him, he was very oppressive to the Imam, and he had plans to kill the Imam that was going to follow Imam al-Sadiq. So he ordered the governor of Medina, whoever is the wasi of Imam al-Sadiq, behead him and send me the head. Imam al-Sadiq knew this, divine knowledge. He put five people as his wasi, including the Khalifa, of which was called the Khalifa, Mansur al-Dawaniqi, the governor of Medina, his wife, the Imam's wife, and one of, Imam al-Sadiq, and I think one of the other sons or another individual. There's five people on the list. All right. What happened was the companions, even the close companions, like Hisham ibn Salim. There's two Hishams that are the companions of the sixth Imam. One is Hisham ibn Salim, which is closer to the Imam. His ahadith are mainly in regards to fiqh and akhlaq and things like that. There's another one, Hisham ibn al-Hakam, which we've probably heard more of. He mainly debates with Ahl al-Sunnah. At points when he was younger, he was closer to the Imam, but then later on there's signs, there's narrations that, he wasn't against the Imam, but there were issues that he had. Anyhow, when Imam al-Sadiq passed away, Hisham ibn al-Salim, the closer one, okay, another person called al-Hajjaj and others, they were confused about who the next Imam is going to be. Abdullah, the son of Imam al-Sadiq, was claiming openly to be the Imam of the time, although he wasn't considered the wasi on paper. He was claiming to be the Imam of the time. These people that were confused, they implemented a technique to see if Abdullah is the Imam or isn't the Imam. And that technique was this: when they went to his presence to see if he is the Imam, because he was claiming, they said, okay, if he is the Imam, we have to follow him, but let's test him. How do we test him? They asked a question in regards to the practical laws about zakat. They said, if you have a certain amount of gold coins. How much of it do you have to pay in zakat? He says, well, the amount was 200 dirham, okay, silver coins. For 200 dirham, there's one dirham that you would have to pay, okay. So he says, okay, they give him that figure. Say, how much zakat is there in 200 dirham? Abdullah says, one dirham. Then they say, what about 100 dirham? Well, he does the math, obviously, if 200 dirhams has got one dirham, then 100 dirhams is going to have half of a dirham. So he said, half a dirham. He said, oh, you flunked the test. Well, they didn't tell him. They just left him like, well, this is not the imam. Why? Because less than 200 dirham, there is no zakat in it. Right? You need to at least have 200 dirhams before zakat even applies. So like, okay, he flunked. So basically, there's characteristics of the imam that we need to know. Those characteristics are going to be known by referring to the previous imam's teachings, okay? Learning the ahkam accurately, learning our aqa'id accurately, knowing how the imams are infallible, how they are not going to justify things and the likes of that. A lot of times, in most cases where people are deviated from the path by someone who claims to be the imam of the time, it is because they are unfamiliar with the ahkam and the aqad of Islam. They're not educated. If they were educated, a person who claims to be the imam but is not is going to make so many mistakes because they are doing that for their nafs. And when they do it for their nafs, even if they know the religion, they are bound to make mistakes. We see that in the story of the Jews, okay? The story of the Jews, some of the Jews of Medina noticed that. They realized that, okay, wait a second, this guy, he's fasiq, right? I know my religion. Don't try to trick me. What you're doing right now is haram. This is wrong. Okay, so I know a haram person, a person who's committing haram wants to tell me, this is not the Prophet. Okay, that's fishy there. Let me go and check it out myself. If somebody is coming to claim that they are the imam, but they are committing a sin, or they're saying this is what the religion says, and we haven't read up on our religion, then that person is going to be able to trick us. We won't be able to have the tools to know that he is a false imam. But if we do know, the more details we know about the religion, these simple ahkam, or the more detailed ahkam, the aqa'id, the more we have knowledge of that, the clearer it is going to be what to expect from the imam. And if the imam wants to say, for example, that the ruling that you know of is wrong, he should know all the details. Which book says what, and where is the problem? Like this narrator is a fabricator, or the other narrator has this problem, or this is what the imam meant. He should have all of that knowledge. But if I don't have access to this knowledge, then I'm not going to be able to tell it. So actually, the more important thing in terms of knowledge that we need to focus on, instead of looking at all these signs, and I'm not saying it's wrong to look at the sign, but the more important one is to learn about the religion, all right, more and more ourselves. And the other point, which is even more important, that is, it says, يَتَوَلَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ الْهَادِيَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. Practice. The time of the coming of the imam is going to be that of fitna and ambiguity. People are going to denounce him, and they're going to consider him a false. They are going to announce that he's a false imam. All right, some maybe even leaders of our communities that we respect, maybe those who are going to deny and denounce the imam. We don't know. God forbid. Maybe we're going to be one of them. Inshallah, we're not. But there is that possibility. So in the atmosphere of fitna and ambiguity, there's two factors that are important that are going to guide us. One is knowledge, but that's not going to be sufficient. The other is practice, according to the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that in the time of fitna, which he describes, he says, وَنَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى. And the people who preceded for them al-husna, good, from their Lord, are going to be saved. In other words, we precede ourselves with good. we do good beforehand if we have proven ourselves, we can become a strong believer, we're not committing sins, Allah is going to take our hand and guide us in those times of ambiguity and vagueness and fitna. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enable us to expand our knowledge of the religion, He teaches us the true knowledge of the religion, and that He helps us put that into practice to become strong believers, so that when the Imam of the time comes, we are able to join his ranks as soon as he announces that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten that return, that noble return of the Imam, which is going to spread justice and the word of God on the face of the earth, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much, Walana, for this great lecture. And brothers, we are running late now, running out of time actually. It's 8:54, so we have 5-6 more minutes. So please go ahead if any brothers any question, please.
Brother, the question that I have is, as the brother said about sun coming off from the west, I mean, geographically and scientifically, I don't know if it's possible. Naturally, with the Imam, anything can be done. But does not it really intend to say, with the means of sun, is a knowledge and ilm?
There's two things to say. First of all, if you're referring to scientific, like knowledge, if that's what you're trying to refer to, that is usually not referred to as shams, and sun is a sign of light, and light refers to the knowledge of the religion and the deeper knowledge of the religion. So that form of knowledge can't, is most probably, I can't say it can't be, but 99% that is not intended. But the more important thing is, although it's possible that that is meant symbolically, however, you know, we don't have any means to verify that. That's one of the issues. What exactly is this trying to tell us? What is this طُلُوعُ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا? Some have said that it means that the religion is going to start to flourish in the West. Okay, is that true? Is it not true? I haven't seen any real explanation for that in the Ahadith. I've seen people explain that, but the point that I was making, that is itself a sign. Scientifically, as far as we know, this hasn't happened. Science can't tell us that it can't happen. All God can change how things work, obviously. But up to this point, this is how it's always happened, and we're not going to have the sun, all of a sudden start rising from the west. Okay, is that what it really means? That at that time, somehow the earth is going to spin the other way for a while, and then back the other way? Is that something that's going to happen, or is it symbolically intended? This is not clear. This is part of the ambiguity that I was referring to.
Thank you, brother.
Are there any other questions? No? One question I would like to ask is regarding unity. How we can work or we can focus on unity among Muslims and especially among Mu'mineen at this time?
Real unity, okay, there's two forms of unity. One form of unity is basically putting aside differences as much as possible.
Brother, please mute your phones.
One form of unity refers to the concept of not engaging in too many debates or harsh debates, saying harsh words to one another of different schools of thought, which is a teaching that we have in our religion. Okay, whoever accepts the oneness of God and the prophethood of our prophet we are supposed to, as much as possible, not engage in any fight, or if God forbid leads to any war, we should try to stay away from that as much as possible. But if they want to do a voting, then that's a different story. That's one aspect of unity. For that, well, we need to remind ourselves of these facts, learn about what the Ahlul Bayt have taught, instead of going and spreading the message of the division and always talking about people that the other schools of thought respect, and we want to disrespect them in public and all of that. That's something that we need to look again at what the Ahlul Bayt have taught us. They've taught us not to do that. Okay. But another aspect of unity is...
Brother, someone need to mute the phone, please.
The other aspect of unity is doing things that is going to bring people together.
I don't have a prayer wall, Bobby. Do you have a prayer wall? I got.
For that, we have to
look
at the principle that is bringing us together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. The important thing is, اِعْتِصَام بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Habdillah are basically what the common elements between us. Okay, the ideology, the belief in God, the Ahlul Bayt, understanding that, and accepting the principles of practice, the ahkam, and practicing that. So basically, educating people more and more about religion and encouraging one another to practice. The more we implement that, the closer we're going to come together. All right. The less we do that, the less we educate ourselves, and each of us wanders off, without having access to the actual sources, without going to the proper sources, trying to, have their own little sessions here and there without proper guidance, coming up with their conclusions. They start believing in one thing, they become a sect, they become an ideology. And then there's another group that has another, a second ideology, a third ideology. We're all scattered, and we can't agree on one thing. Somebody says shafa'at is this. The other one says shafa'at is that. One says blood makam is this. The other one says this. Well, this. The more we educate ourselves and encourage one another to practice the true principles of Islam, the closer we are going to come together.
Thank you, Malana. As we're also running out of time right now, so I would say thanks to all brothers and sisters for joining us, and a special thanks to Malana for dedicating his time and educating us about this upcoming great event. We look forward, Malana, again to benefit from your time, inshallah, in the future. And thank you so much again, inshallah.
Wassalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Malana, wa alaikum wa salam.
Shukran.